Welcome to Your Odyssey Podcast, where your guides, Tara and Karen, invite you on a transformative journey toward wholeness and personal growth. Each week, we'll discuss topics related to the human experience and offer insights to help you along the way. Please note, this podcast should not replace medical care or advice. We are not licensed healthcare professionals or mental health therapists. If you enjoyed today's episode, subscribe so you don't miss out on our future discussions. So, explorers, let's dive into today's episode. Welcome, explorers. It's Tara here for the third episode of our Love Unveiled series. Karen and I are excited to dive back in. As we all know, love comes in many forms and can be expressed in many ways. To appreciate its depth, we will explore 8 Greek words that beautifully distinguish between different types of love. Are you ready to explore the depths and diversity of love together? Let's jump right in.
I kind of want to sing the theme song from the Love Boat. No, why? Boat. Soon we'll be making another round. I was reading in our favorite book, The Pivot Year,
yes,
about how there are all types of love just waiting to find you. Being open to that doesn't have to come in a particular form, format, person.
Alrighty, all types of love. We are going to start with, I'm telling you, these words, I'm not Greek, is a challenge. Here we go. We're going to give a brief definition of what it is, characteristics, and how it shows up in our world today.
It's a real lesson this week, y'all.
The first type of love is philautia, also known as self-love.
My favorite kind.
It is your favorite kind. Philautia centers on self-acceptance and personal well-being. It is an integral aspect of emotional health, where we cultivate a deep appreciation for ourselves, recognizing our worth and value.
That is my life's work right there in one sentence. Yeah. Cultivating self-love, reminding people that they are love, that they are love. Right? That love is the only reality, and we are all divine expressions of that love.
Characteristics of philautia include positive self-talk, joy, and contentment.
That's a sweet recipe.
It sounds pretty amazing when you break it down like that.
Oh, yeah.
When practiced healthily, philautia supports emotional wellness and fosters positive relationships. However, when self-love becomes excessive or self-centered, it can lead to negative outcomes, such as narcissism and an inability to empathize with others.
Yikes.
I love that. Whoa, wait.
All of a sudden I'm realizing, okay, there's going to be a flip side to all of these.
There's
going to
be a flip side. Balancing self-love with genuine concern for others is essential for fostering healthy interpersonal relationships.
So that deep self-love is not just focusing on what you want, so to speak. It's literally loving yourself, your soul, who you truly are. And that, of course, pairs lovely with when you love yourself, you are able to express that to others in that in a healthy way.
I don't know the number of episodes where you and I have talked about that it starts with yourself.
So many. Because it's true. And it's the main truth.
It really is.
Self-awareness, self-care, self-love, it all actually has a huge, profound impact on the external world. Take care of this business of self.
And I think it's important to reiterate what you said about self-love. Loving yourself does not mean you are selfish.
They're not synonymous.
Oh, there it goes. Oh, you knew God. You said it was... You warned me that the accents are going to come. All right.
I can't do a Greek accent. So.
Love type number 2 is mania or obsessive love. Ooh. It's exactly what it sounds like.
That does not feel healthy. That does not feel good.
It's like the only one we're talking about where there isn't really a positive side to it. Mania is an intense and often overwhelming form of love characterized by overwhelming
infatuation, or desire. This passionate love can blur the lines between affection and obsession, leading to an intense preoccupation with the relationship.
Yeah, like I've experienced that.
Perhaps you have.
Oh, goodness.
Characteristics of mania include intense emotional investment, possessiveness or jealousy, and dependency.
That's so interesting because to me, the first one, intense emotional investment, that doesn't feel so negative because I feel like you would want to be emotionally invested in someone else's well-being if you're going to be spending your life with them, etc., or whatever.
It's the intense part.
But yeah, but the other two, yeah, red flags, flags, flags going up everywhere.
Just throwing flags.
Oh, flag on the play.
On the love play. Yes. Mania can create a thrilling sense of connection, but spoiler alert, it often arises from insecurities and emotional instability, posing challenges to a healthy relationship.
Wah,
wah. So, let's strive for a balance between passionate love and healthy attachment to transform obsessive love into a more stable and fulfilling love.
Yes.
The transformation. Can't be so obsessive.
Just dilute it down a little bit.
A little bit.
Just take it down. Take it down a few
notches. Love type number three, Ludus, which is playful, flirtatious love.
Ludus.
Ludus is the type of love characterized by playfulness and flirtation, encompassing the joy of lighthearted interactions and spontaneous moments. This form of love thrives on excitement and fun, often marked by teasing, banter, and a sense of adventure. In the context of new relationships, Ludus can create a thrilling sense of excitement and adventure. It's the initial flirting phase, which boosts our adrenaline levels and fosters those feelings of attraction. You see that? You're thinking about your Ludus moments.
It's more like that. Anytime, like that new relationship feeling that they talk about, like they call it the honeymoon phase or whatever. It's that chemical reaction to the connection, right?
Interesting.
Well, that was my German accent.
Okay, where are we going tonight? This encourages partners to engage in shared activities that strengthen bonds, like games, outings, or playful conversations. These moments help build trust and intimacy, allowing us to get to know each other better while keeping the atmosphere light and enjoyable. I mean, Karen, you strike me as a very...
This one's hitting me. This is the sweet spot of it.
Balancing this type of love with deeper forms of love can lead to fulfilling and enduring partnerships.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Balancing.
Mm.
Alrighty. Love type number four.
Ba-ba-da-da.
Pragma.
Pragma.
This is the practical long-term love.
Pragmatic. I was like,
it's gotta be.
Practical long-term love. You mean like a business relationship, like a partnership that evolves into like a
absolutely. That is exactly what pragma is. It's the type of love that evolves over time, grounded in practicality and mutual understanding. We've moved past the initial infatuation and found deeper bonds based on shared experiences, values, and long-term goals. That sounds amazing. Nice. That sounds like, you know.
Yeah, you're sharing goals. You're sharing life vision. Super important.
Mm-hmm.
I think shared goals is everything, honestly. Something cannot work if you don't have shared goals.
Right. Like, what are we working towards?
Like,
what
you have to communicate. You have to know that. You have to communicate that. And you have to be like, yeah. It's like team goals. This is what we want.
Pragma love. So, it could be we're committing to raising our family. That's our goal. We are launching this business together. We are pursuing personal growth as we launch this business together.
That's a goal.
That's a goal.
That's pragma. We are building generational wealth.
Goals. Pragma is about finding balance in love through understanding and commitment over time. I think about the evolution of some of my closest relationships now. I am very much in a pragma mode in those because we're working towards something together, or they're supporting me, I'm supporting them. There's something beautiful in the stability offered by Pragma.
And that shared vision, that shared mm-hmm. goal. The stability is a big factor.
Yeah.
I agree. When we're talking about intimate romantic partnerships, I think that Pragma, I don't think you have to lose the ludus, even though you've become more Pragma. You know, I think that's an important piece.
Yeah. That is good to mention. These love styles or these Greek words for love, we aren't locked into one.
It's not like you could only be in this phase of love.
You can only be mania love and that's it. Yeah. No. Yeah. Love is absolutely multifaceted. We show up in different ways in different relationships. Mm. Like,
come on, lay
you up. Wouldn't want to be all Pragma with the cashier at the grocery store. Right, that's not that relationship.
That doesn't feel appropriate.
That's not right.
Yeah.
All right. Love type, love style, number. Where even five. Am I
we're
now?
Five.
We're on five. Good
we
Lord.
Five.
Are we just zooming through this? All right.
Single.
Storge.
Storge?
Mm-hmm.
I was just Russian. What? But it's Greek. It's Greek.
Storge is... familial love. This type of love refers to the affectionate bond between family members, characterized by deep loyalty, familiarity, and emotional intimacy. This love often develops naturally over time as it is cultivated through shared experiences, history, and mutual support.
Yeah, all I'm thinking about is my babies. All I'm thinking about is my kids. Because Storge reminds me of like stork.
Oh,
like,
that's the image you got out of
yeah,
that.
Yeah, like the stork. Yeah, these are the people that came to you mm-hmm. to help you develop that type of love and to feel that sense of connection.
Yeah.
I love that. Who do you know better than someone you share genetic material with?
I mean...
And having said that, or someone you've been with that you've chosen to adopt, bring into your life, and then develop the chemistry, that biological bond by... having that level of love, right?
Yeah.
That depth.
While Storge enriches our lives with warmth and connection, we would be remiss if we did not recognize that familial love can also face challenges.
What? Oh, well, I was thinking of family of origin when you first said Storge.
Yes.
Like,
Family dynamics, personal differences, or life changes might test these bonds. The strength of Storge often lies in its ability to adapt and persevere, reminding us that family, of origin or choice, can survive even the toughest trials. Embracing Storge fosters a sense of belonging that ensures no matter what, family will always have each other's back.
And that reminds me of that primal, right, desire we have for being part of a tribe.
Mm-hmm. The connection, community, the community.
The community. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And, you know, for better or for worse, we do have that with the siblings, the parents, the people that were our family of origin. There have been times where my family members have shown me a level of understanding or support that I might not have automatically gotten from another
right.
type of relationship.
Right. At yeah. least not immediately. Like, I think of the aunts that knew me before I knew me, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
And are still loving me as I show up in, you know, different versions of myself, what that looks like across my family.
Mm, yeah.
That right. choice.
Sort of giving you the space to evolve and the room to grow.
Yeah. Love number six is philia.
Philia, friendship, the love of friendship.
Yeah. Yes. And when I saw this word, immediately what popped in my mind is Philadelphia, city of brotherly love.
Mm-hmm.
Philia represents the deep bond of friendship characterized by mutual affection, respect, and also shared experiences. Unlike romantic love, philia is a platonic connection, emphasizing companionship. This love is all about our community. The people that we choose, the people that we've brought into our lives through those shared experiences, that's your philia. Mm-hmm. This network of people who are there for you.
Love and support you.
Trust, loyalty, shared joys, shared interests.
As you said, like a chosen family that you choose to surround yourself with and engage in deep, meaningful, long-term relationships with.
I think this type of love expressed through our friendships teaches us a lot about ourselves. I feel one of the main ones that supports our personal growth. We see characteristics in our friends like, oh, I want more of that. Or people we won't call them enemies, just not friends, that we don't want that. But it's all about developing who you are,
right,
as a person.
We see characteristics that we, as you said, you either desire or do not desire. And it helps you filter what you want and how you want to move forward on your mm-hmm. journey, how you want to present. You
know? Yeah. Philia is about weaving a supportive network, making it one of the most valuable forms of love.
Because you can 100%, I think, be yourself. I feel like that's maybe next to self-love, the most important yeah. one, because it gives you the conditions
Ooh.
For you to grow into who you are, who you want to be, with that safe glass environment, like that safe shell around you.
And even though we have the familial bonds in Storge, I think we are more willing, at least I know I am more willing, to accept hard truths about myself from my friends.
Oh, 1,000%. Yes. You don't want your family mirroring that.
Yeah. Please get off of your soapbox and leave me alone.
But like your friend, you'd be like,
tell you the exact same thing.
It's like with our kids. Their friends can say something. You'll be like, I literally just said that 10 minutes ago and you sneered at me. And now somebody else is saying it and you're like, oh yeah, it's a great idea.
Oh yeah. Love number 7, lucky number 7, is the type of love and the word for love that we are most familiar with, and it is Eros. Y'all know that Greek god.
Yeah,
yeah. Eros is that romantic love. It's passionate and intense between romantic partners.
I feel like there's going to be two sides to this one. Am I right? maybe not.
Yes. Eros is also characterized by emotional intimacy and thrives on exploration and new experiences. The adventure and discovery part of romantic love. Here is the part. While Eros infuses life with passion and excitement, it's important to remember that romantic love can also be complex and face challenges. Bum, bum, bum. This is when
I... It can be a damn roller coaster is what it can be.
Okay. This is not that episode. I'm not going there.
I was throwing a... I'm like, let's see.
I'm not going to take the bait. Communication misunderstandings, differing needs, or external pressures may test the relationship. However, the depth of Eros often lies in the ability to grow and evolve, reminding us that love can endure beyond the initial infatuation. Cultivating Eros encourages us to keep the flame alive, ensuring that our journey together remains vibrant and fulfilling.
You check in every day, every week, every month, like, how am I doing? How are you doing? And don't get caught up in the partnership so much that you forget who you are and what you need. And your development as an individual, but that you support each other.
It's about balance.
Yeah. I agree that there is a balance. So much of any conflicts or challenges that arise, the biggest thing you can do to help yourself through that with your partner is good communication, like open communication. You have to accept all of the things about the person. You don't have to like them, but you have to accept them. This is part of who they are or who they're growing into, and communication and staying in touch is really what's going to hold the fabric together.
And love type, love style number 8
Ocho.
Is what? We went Spanish now?
I started doing the numbers in Spanish. It was under the radar, but yeah, I've been doing that.
We made it to 8. Love type number 8 is agape.
Oh, agape. Yes.
Agape is a selfless, unconditional love transcending personal gain or emotional reciprocity. This form of love emphasizes compassion, empathy, and a commitment to the well-being of others, often extending beyond familial ties to encompass all of humanity.
All of humanity. I feel agape so deeply, that love and understanding and compassion for other human beings on this human being journey, remembering who we are and validating and honoring that.
Yeah.
Agape.
Agape. That's rounding out our 8 loves. While agape enriches our lives with profound connections, it's important to acknowledge that unconditional love, I don't know about the rest of you explorers, but for me, it can be very challenging. Situations arise where our personal boundaries are tested, and loving selflessly may require significant emotional resilience. When they test it, how does it show up?
You know, that's the thing about love. There's going to be challenges, and I'm speaking of agape love. There are going to be people who cross your path, and I think the idea is to have those love goggles on, which is like to see past the behavior, the language, the disposition, or the energy, to see, yes, this person is also a beam of light. They're also a star. The reason they're behaving this way is because things have happened. They've been hurt. They've been wounded. Why we react in the ways that we do. It's so important, I think, to see into someone's heart. It is challenging. It is challenging.
The strength of agape lies in its unwavering commitment to love and support others. Embracing agape cultivates an inclusive spirit, reminding us that love knows no boundaries and can bring healing and hope.
Yes, I've been rereading the book by Marian Williamson called A Return to Love, which is based on A Course in Miracles. The premise is that we are all love. Love is our natural state, and the choice is love or fear. The return to love is the remembering that you are love, that you are of love, that you are for love, that you are just love. I believe for some people, it's much easier to see that in other people than it is to see in yourself.
Philautia, that's philautia, the one. Philautia, self-love.
And then for others, it's the opposite. And I think the idea is to be able to do that for self and others, you know, in a very non-judgmental, kind, graceful way.
It begins with you so it can flow out to others.
Exactly.
Hmm.
And it's so true. When we cannot love ourselves, we cannot love others. Not in a deep, significant way. We can superficially think that we are loving others, but there is a deep exploration, this whole inner world, this inner landscape that exists. We need our own love. We need our own recognition, our own appreciation, our own compassion. Like we must show that to ourselves. And if we can't, if we're disconnected from it, we just can't tap into that, then nothing else will work.
Ooh. Well,
my goodness.
On that note, we should dance it out.
Yes, we should.
And I have a song, a duet that talks about unwavering love and support and devotion, the joyful celebration of love. The song is by Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell, Ain't No Mountain High Enough. Check out this week's song on the Yo Podcast playlist on Spotify.
Oh my God. Wait, that was Marvin Gaye with Tammy Terrell. I feel like that hits so many of the loves.
Like, right? A lot of them.
Yeah.
Except for Mania. We're going to leave that one alone.
I'm going to leave that. I'm not touched out a 10-foot pole. Oh, it's so good.
Mm-hmm.
God, I've loved that song forever.
Yes.
I think what I love about that song so much is that it's like, that's what you want. That's what you want, like from friends or lovers, family. Like, there's just like, there's nothing that I wouldn't do.
Karen and I jammed out with Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell. We talked about 8 types of love.
8, not 7, not 9.
I didn't want to keep y'all here for too much longer and do what we normally do and do a whole nother. I was like, no, we're just going to talk about this love and dance. And now it's time for the question of the day.
Beautiful.
Hmm.
Oh, goodness.
She's.
I like. I got excited, know. And then I was like, "Ooh."
Okay.
All right. Let's hear it, sister.
Which word for love resonates with you the most, and how has it manifested in your relationships?
It's interesting to me that I'm about to answer this with the two extremes.
All right, let's go. I'm ready.
So, the self-love. And then the love for all humanity. Those are the two that bookend my life and that feel the most deeply resonant for me. And maybe that's because I'm not in a partnership right now. Mm. I mean, there is the storge with my children that I feel, but I also feel those two really speak to me, and I find that fascinating that they're on opposite ends of the spectrum, so to speak.
How does agape and philautia show up in your relationships?
We talked about this, which is that one must discover, ignite, feel love for one's own self. We must love ourselves in all our imperfections, deeply and completely, feel our worth and our value to have any successful relationships of any level. When I meet people, peers, you know, if I can meet someone with that idea of agape, that's going to create and foster a relationship more quickly and deeply than if I didn't feel that.
Of course, the one that shows up for me is philautia, that self-love. Could not imagine trying to be who I am in all of the spaces and all of the love facets that I play in without having some deep sense of self-worth, some sense of value first. I couldn't imagine.
Like, you have to start there.
I have to start there.
Yeah.
And then agape is the goal for me. I feel the older I get, the easier it is to tap into agape.
Yeah, because you let go a lot of
that part.
You know?
That part. You're like, that is, the question that I ask myself as I try to tap into agape is, will this matter 5 minutes, 5 months, 5 years from now? If it won't, let it go.
Yeah, it's a brilliant tool. That's a brilliant measure.
But then the other that shows up for me that is really important to me is philia. That's the friendly, affectionate love. I value openness and honesty in relationships. And I feel like in those friendships, I can show up as who I am, good, bad, ugly, and my people still get me, and it's okay. And I invite them to do the same.
Yeah, I think that's beautiful. It's so interesting that I went to the extreme of agape, but that is just where I am in my life. But having said that, philia is also important.
I think the foundation of philautia enables the philia, which pushes you towards agape.
I do think they're related, those two. Yeah. Yeah. That's probably why it pulls. So beautiful.
I feel like I could not have a quote in this episode about Greek words for love without having a quote from Greek philosopher, scientist, and logician.
Logic dude.
Good old logic man. Aristotle. Aristotle said, love is composed of a single soul inhabiting two bodies. If we could remember that.
It's like any two bodies, not, you know.
Bodies we like. Love first.
Two beings love. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that.
Explorers, we hope you've enjoyed exploring these 8 Greek words for love with us. Each word offers us unique insights into how we relate to ourselves and others. Love is not a one-size-fits-all feeling. It evolves, shifts, and transforms as we navigate through different relationships and stages of life. Thank you for joining us today. We hope you found this conversation valuable and inspiring. Until next time, remember to honor love in all its forms, both for yourself and others.
What I love about this so much is that love, the word love, doesn't grab at all. And I love that there are other languages that express
the depth and diversity.
Right, and the depth, yes, exactly. Yeah. Wow. We love you, explorers. Thanks for being here with us. We'll see you next time. Take good care.
Thank you to Queenie's in downtown Durham for the use of their community podcast studio and for welcoming us so warmly each week. We'd like to give a shout out to Coco Cinnamon, the birthplace of 1023 Media and the Yo Podcast. Please support your local, women-owned, minority-owned coffee shop in downtown Durham. Brought to you by Durham-based 1023 Media, a heart-centered, woman-owned multimedia company.